Juneau Afternoon is made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my first guests today represent the Juneau Audubon Society. Welcome back to the show, Brenda Wright and Marlon Bowles. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's always great to have you guys. The Audubon Society's mission, as many know, is mainly the conservation of ecosystems with a focus on birds and their habitats. But Marlon, your focus is on flowers, and you're going to be giving a presentation on orchids of Southeast Alaska. So how did you become interested in flowers?
Oh, well, it goes back to my childhood and training from my family. But most of all, in college, I took a lot of courses in botany and became more and more interested in that.
And plenty of material to study around here. And when did you become focused on orchids or make orchids sort of a specialty?
Oh, that happened in college as well. Just more and more interested in orchids because they're special plants. They often grow in special habitats. And so it's always great fun to go on the field and seek them out.
Well, you're going to be talking about orchids that are found in the wild here in Southeast Alaska. Maybe surprising to some. I think of orchids as sort of a tropical flower, but they grow all over, from what I understand. Is that correct?
Yes, they do. First of all, orchids are the most abundant plant family in the world. There's about 25,000 species worldwide. They make up somewhere between 8 to 10% of the total flora in the world. So if you went in the tropics, especially and by random just grabbed a species, there's a 10% chance you'd have an orchid. They're that common. Further north, they're less common. Alaska has about 35 native species, and Juneau has about 27 native species.
That is also surprising to me. And their appearances are pretty varied, is that right? They don't all look like the potted orchid I have in my living room, for example.
Yes, they do. That's right. A few do. The one on the website, the fairy slipper, looks an awful lot like something that you might well have in your living room. But the one on the left, the white bog orchid, is less likely to be identified as an orchid unless you're really interested in it.
Yeah, so for our listeners, we've got two photographs from Bob Armstrong on our website, ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. And so you can look at what we're talking about as we discuss it. What are the characteristics unique to orchids of Southeast? What allows them to thrive here?
Well, as I said, orchids grow all around the world. There's even some that go north of the Arctic Circle. So they've evolved adaptations to environments all the way from the tropics to near the Arctic Circle. What they require here is an undisturbed habitat, something that hasn't been impacted too much by human intervention. And they have a unique method of seedling establishment. Their seeds have no endosperm. They have to come in contact with the soil fungus. And that soil fungus provides nutrients to the developing seed. And so one requirement of orchids will be a habitat that has the proper soil fungus that they can become adapted to.
That's interesting. Yeah. But the fungus is not the same as a pollinator?
No. The fungus is this non-vascular. Gosh, the fungus are even placed in a different group than the vascular plants. And they have what's called a hyphae or a mycelium that moves through the ground. It's microscopic. And when that hyphae comes in contact with the orchid's seed, they develop a structure called a mycorrhiza that is in contact with the emerging root of the orchid seedling. And by that contact zone, nutrients are transferred from the fungus to the orchid.
Very interesting. Are they hard to find around Juneau? Where can we look for these flowers?
Well, actually, they're quite easy to find. The muskeg has lots of orchids. The most common one is the white bog orchid. If you're in a muskeg, chances are you're going to see a white bog orchid. They're really common.
You know what I like best about them, though, is that wonderful smell.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it smells like cloves to me.
And that smell has an important use. That serves to help attract pollinators.
And what are some of the special pollinators for orchids?
Well, again, it depends upon the species. The fairy slipper is pollinated by bees, small bumblebees. Well, the white bog orchid is pollinated by moths.
Really?
Yeah. The quite large hawk moth, here it's the bedstraw hawk moth. They're kind of a nocturnal counterpart of a hummingbird. They hover in front of the flower and insert their tongue into the flower and drink nectar. And during that process, they pick up pollen, which they carry away and use and will pollinate another plant when they visit that. And so in my talk, we actually have a video of hawk moth pollinating white bulk orchid. There's another group called owlet moths, which are really common. I see them all over Juneau. I see them on our in the plant pots in our window, outside the window. And they're also a pollinator of the white bulk orchid.
Very interesting. So we can look for these on muskeg trails. I've seen the white bog orchid, the one that you mentioned as being fairly common. I've seen that before. I didn't know it was an orchid. So that's really interesting. But this fairy slipper one, I don't know if I've seen it around. Do you know of a trail where it might be?
That's hard to find. Most of them are restricted to the islands.
Oh.
But you can see them at the Jensen Arboretum.
Oh, well, that's a great tip.
Yeah, that's an easy place to see them. They're in the woods up at Haines, and then further south, they become restricted to the islands. So,
the island of Douglas?
No, that's too big.
Okay.
It's the small islands. It's the small islands.
And what is it about those habitats that allow them to grow there and not somewhere else?
Well, we're not sure. The fairy slipper has a green leaf that's winter green. That is, it's present all year long in the winter. And it may be that the small offshore islands don't have deer.
Oh.
And deer may browse the leaves off.
Oh.
So if you repeat that process enough, you can wipe them out. But there's other things. The marine environment may buffer temperatures on the island so they don't hit the extremes. It may not get so cold, may not get so warm. And someone told me the other day he thought it was snails or other organisms that would actually eat the leaves repeatedly and destroy the plants. So it may be leaf predators, small scale, could be deer, could be the marine environment. It might be all three.
Yeah.
I should say slugs.
I was going to say, yeah, the slugs are
they're really common.
Yeah, there's quite a few, far more slugs than orchids around town. Well, that's super interesting. And then I also wanted to ask if you have any potted orchids. Do you have any pet orchids at home?
I usually have some Phalaenopsis, call them moth orchid. They're tropical, but I can't grow them very well.
Oh, really? Why is that? Why is it hard to grow orchids indoors?
It's not that hard if you know what to do. Most orchids have a really narrow environment that they're adapted to, and most of the tropical orchids you can buy are hybrids, so that they often have a wider, let's call it a niche. And if you replicate that with the proper potting mix and water, then you can do it. But overwatering is really hard on them. The roots will rot. See, the tropical orchids all grow up in trees. They're called epiphytes. They grow in tree branches. And different species grow up and down at different elevations in the trees. But they don't grow in soil. So when you grow a tropical orchid, you have to have a pot that replicates as closely as you can that environment that they encounter in nature.
Do you have an orchid, Brenda?
No, but I was just going to ask if the rattlesnake plantain is actually an orchid.
Yes, it is. Yes, that's one of our
common
ones.
What a name for an orchid.
Never heard of it. I'm going to have to look that one up later.
That one definitely lives here in Juneau.
Well, I have an orchid at home. I was going to ask for some tips, but I think I'll pass.
Where did you get it?
Martha's Flowers. Yep. So it's actually doing fine. It's just got some weird things going on with the roots.
You can grow them in windowsills and they'll do just fine, but there's many different species. And if you get one, find out what it is, what kind, and then go online and find out what kind of soil mix and conditions it needs.
Well, that's great advice. Marlon Bowes, your talk, Orchids of Southeast Alaska with an Emphasis on Juneau, March 14th, 7 p.m., UAS Egan Lecture Hall. It sounds like it's going to be super interesting. I could probably ask you about 20 more questions, but maybe briefly you could tell us what else you'll be covering in your talk on Thursday.
Well, I'm going to talk about where they grow, the different habitats in Juneau, and what species occur in different habitats, and then we'll spend some time on pollinators of some of the orchids. My colleague Bob Armstrong gets great videos of just about everything. And we've got videos of a couple of pollinators, so that'll really be fun to see. And then I'm going to run through as many species as I can without putting everyone to sleep and just give a profile. Here's the species, here's what it looks like, and where's it grows.
That's great. Do you have any books or anything that you would recommend as like a trail guide when looking for orchids?
No, I don't. There's one book by Catherine Hall on plants of Southeast Alaska, That's a really nice one. That's got most of the orchids in it. Some of the ones are so rare, they just don't wind up in all the books. But Catherine Hall's book is a nice one.
Great recommendation. Brenda, what else is going on with the Juno Audubon Society?
You know, this is going to, April is our last public presentation, and it'll be on April 11th at Egan, just the same, at 7 p.m. This one will be by Doug Jones, and he's going to talk about coffee and birds and the changes over the last 30 years where coffee was a sole agricultural product, and so birds and other animals were excluded, but that's much better now. So it's a good, happy story. And in April, we start our bird migration walks every Saturday from mid-April through mid-June.
Excellent. More on your website?
Yes.
And what's that website again?
It's www.juno-audubon-society.org.
Great.
And we have a Facebook page, too.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for that information. Marlon, thank you for answering all my questions on orchids. Again, the talk is March 14th. That's this Thursday, 7 p.m. at UAS Egan Lecture Hall. Is there anything else either of you would like to add?
No, but thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for being here.